Have you ever had any role models before in your life? I'm just interested to know, is there ever anyone in your life who you've considered a role model? A friend or a dad or a parent? Or I kind of imagine Jesus like that. Yeah, I was just going to say, I imagine Jesus like that, that you've got his attention. You know, when he addressed you, that all of a sudden, incredibly, you know, his world for that moment was you. You know, anyone else that people have had an impact in your life, been a good mentor? Sometimes, you know, sadly, we can't always put a finger on someone, really. I mean, obviously, our family and our parents have certain, you know, hopefully good influences upon us. And there are good examples that we can learn from. But a mentor, wow. You know, I have a good relationship with my father these days, and I thank God for that. But I was a bit of an unruly child growing up, and I think I probably brought the worst out of my dad as well. And, you know, I look back on that, and I think, you know, some wasted years where I refused to be mentored, you know, and maybe it didn't bring the best out in the mentor as well. And I think families like that sometimes, but Jesus is such a perfect and beautiful example that whenever you read the Gospels, everything he does is an example to us. His speech, the way he treats people, his compassion, you know, even his forthrightness sometimes. You know, sometimes we've just got to be honest and call the situation as it is. But there's one situation in the Gospels which is so beautiful. I want to read it to you. John 13, verse 12. It's in the Last Supper, and Jesus is with his disciples. And in John 13, verse 12, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do them. Now, we don't live in a desert these days. We don't often walk, you know, everywhere we go. We don't always wear sandals unless it's summer and the ladies have painted the toenails and dressed the feet up. Most men still wear shoes because our feet are so ugly. But, you know, we don't live in that culture where we're walking on dusty tracks and our feet are always filthy like that. So if we walk to someone's house, unless they ask you to remove your shoes, normally you tend to just keep your shoes on, or sometimes you'll kick them off at the door. But normally, it's not the practice of someone coming and saying, oh, can I wash your feet for you? Can you imagine? You know, I was going to visit Gaynor and I kicked my shoes off and I'm sitting there with my leg up just waiting for her to wash my feet. Oh, can't be as bad as that. Now, my feet are all right, actually. I look after my feet. But, you know, what Jesus is actually saying is not that you have to wash feet, but whatever it is that enables you to serve someone is your example. I mean, for example, like Kev, he'll come into church and, you know, even at table tennis, you see him in the kitchen, I've put the bin out, Simon, and he haven't washed my feet yet. I've put the bin out and, you know, I've washed the cups and different things. And many of you, it helped with the kitchen and things like that. You know, you don't need to be asked because we're a family. And also, we don't want the burden to just be on one person. We all sort of muck in and we all help each other. And what Jesus says is that you will be blessed if you do them. If you want to be blessed, be aware of the needs of those around you, because Jesus was. If we want to be blessed, I remember, I think I told you this many years ago, I was praying, and I think I was praying for someone, and the Lord said to me, Simon, when you're thinking of others, I'm thinking of you. Just in my prayer thoughts, I wasn't even thinking about myself, I was just praying. And in my spirit came these words, when you're thinking of others, I'm thinking of you. In other words, as you serve and love other people, I'm taking care of your needs. And that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because if we were always consumed by our own problems, we'd never have time for anyone else. And actually, sometimes you'll meet people in life, and I've met enough of them, where, you know, you go and chat to them and you share something, oh, that's terrible. And then they go on straight away with what their problem is. And they suck the living daylights out of you, you know, and there's not much of you left by the time you finish the conversation. That is not serving one another. Jesus is the perfect role model. In another chapter, it actually says that Jesus showed us the full extent of his love by washing feet. You'd think that verse would be reserved for something like, you know, the cross or, you know, obviously, what a demonstration of love. But what Jesus is saying is, you know, even though I am Lord of all, I have no problem serving you and washing your stinky feet. I have no problem doing that. It's not like cheating either. You know, I remember in the youth group years ago at Ilford, and they'd all planned to have a foot washing session. But, you know, they had like a couple of weeks' notice, and everybody made sure that the toenails were clipped, and they're all shiny and polished and probably moisturized before they got there, and probably didn't even need a wash, you know. No, this is the point of this, is that, do you know what? Help each other. Help each other. You know, I've visited homes where people have had accidents, you know, whether it's vomit or whatever it is, you know, without going painting pictures. When I've visited people, sometimes people have been in a very bad state. But I don't go, it's not for me, thanks. I'm a pastor. I just do spiritual things. Let's call a nurse. I'm happy to, you know, pull my sleeves up and help. And that's what we do. When we look at Jesus' example, we're not saying that we have a reputation that doesn't involve serving others. I saw a video last night on YouTube, actually, of the Prime Minister in Netherlands, in Holland. And he spilt a coffee. Did you see it? Yeah, he spilt a coffee all over the floor. But he picked his cup up and he got a mop and he's cleaning it up. I don't know if it was like a train station or something like that. And he's setting an example for others to follow. You and I must be conscious that all around us, people are watching us. Especially if you go to church. My goodness me. It makes it very, very difficult sometimes. I took Freddie to football yesterday. And Solana took Reuben to football because they both had football tournaments. So we were a bit exhausted by the end of the day. And all the conversation was about Love Island. I don't know if you've seen this. Do yourself a favour. Don't watch it. It's absolute tripe. But I think I vaguely remember seeing some trailers on it. I've not watched it. Yeah. It's not very nice, Kevin's saying, in other words. Yeah, it's rubbish. And it's all about, you know, relationships, and it's all very chaffy and this one copping off with this one. But Solana said something when I came home, and she said, it's the dumbing down of society when you watch this tribe. And what was really sad is I went to the football, and I love the parents there. They're very friendly. But they're all having this massive conversation about Love Island. And I'm like, I find it hard. I don't want to get into that, you know. And yet if I say something like, oh, why would you watch that? It's like a tribe. Then we were talking about this last night. Straight away, vroom, the barriers will come up. And vroom, oh, that's because you go to church. That I'm not going to change them by actually saying to them, that's wrong. Or how very evil of you. How very unclean you must feel after. No, what I need to do is set them an example for them to follow. It's not just my advice. It's not just my advice. Just not the knowledge, like that man said this morning. Knowledge is just knowing about something. But how we teach people to apply a different way of living, that's entirely different. What's interesting, Kevin, you know Graham, who comes to table tennis. Graham is a similar boat to myself. He needs to lose weight. He's quite a bit bigger than me. He's in danger of really getting health problems as well. And I think I mentioned last week, I went through his food diary. He came this week. He said, Simon, I've lost 2 kilograms this week. 2 kilos. I went, wow, show us your food plan. It was better than mine. I thought, wow. You know, what a lovely example. But he must have seen something in me, hopefully a little bit slimmer, but he must have seen something that says, you know what, I'm going to listen to Simon. Now, for people who have been overweight for a long time, and I've been overweight for a long time because obviously stopped playing football in my early 30s and that was it, game over really. Solana's cooking's amazing, so there's like a nightmare if you enjoy your food. We had a lovely dinner last night. What did we have, Solana? We had, this is important, I'll tell you why. What we had sardines and onions and tomatoes. It was absolutely beautiful. It was so healthy. You know, Solana's setting an example for me. Not just Simon, you should be cooking this yourself. I'll show you how to do it. But she's trying to set me an example. You know what? You can be eat and be full and have a nice-sized dinner when it's healthy. So in a way, we're all mentoring each other in different ways. We're all trying to encourage each other. Jesus taught the golden rule, didn't he? He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So we can't ask someone to do something for us if we wouldn't be willing to do it ourselves. I was thinking about when I first became a Christian at Ilford. 1991, I became a Christian. And I'd gone from having very bad mentors, you know, really very naughty guy, very bad lifestyle, to all of a sudden meeting lots of people in church who were fab. And that was a surprise, that there were people in church who weren't just like pew warmers or churchgoers. These were really nice people. And some of the, like, you know, all of a sudden I started to build friendships with guys who were twice my age and three times my age and more. And I wanted to hang around with these guys. And it was so refreshing for me. I wanted to hang around with people that were in their 60s and 70s and even 80s because I loved their example. They were warm. There was something about them that made Jesus even more real to me. And it wasn't to say that the young people didn't have something about them as well. But because they gave an example, I was drawn to them. I was drawn to them. I wonder what example you and I give others. What example do we give them? They know we go to church, I'm sure. And the worst testimony you can get is when you have to visit someone after they've passed away and you find out things have not been resolved. And it's sad. Very sad. I've been in that situation several times. Thomas Kempis, a very famous Christian writer, said this: let our foremost resolve to be to meditate on the life of Christ. Why? Because it's someone to set or emulate, to step up to focus, to learn how he walked. Freddie and Ruben like to watch YouTube videos, and they're all footballer videos, you know, and look at Messi do all his tricks and all his business, and I can't really do the tricks anymore quite as fast as I used to, you know. Nice moves, though, eh? I was showing them yesterday on the pitch. But the whole point is that they're trying to emulate and copy someone for skills. But copying someone's actions are not the same as owning them. And when we look at Jesus, we find that his character is what we want to be like. Beautiful example, following Jesus. And yet, in all of this, all of our zeal in following the Lord, if our heart isn't changed, we're just making a noise. You can be a church deacon and you can be a church demon. I've met both. It's all about the heart. How much do they closely resemble our Lord Jesus? How much does your pastor closely resemble the Lord? It's a challenge. But it's one that we have to step up to because people are watching us. When I talked about Love Island, I didn't want to dwell on it at all. But the point is, everybody is looking to the celebrities. And everybody is looking to the sporting heroes. And what's interesting is there has been a bit of a backlash against that on television. And there have been programs where you get awards for not average Joe in the community, you know, which is lovely. You know, the best mum of the year award, the best fireman award. You know, these are the things that we should celebrate. People that lay down their life in love and service. My friend Enzo Calamita, is a lovely guy. He's a preacher, and he said this: if someone considers themselves a leader and no one is following them, then they're just out for a walk. Interesting, isn't it? If someone considers themselves a leader and no one is following them, then they're just out for a walk. Dwight Moody, the great preacher, once said this: the measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many people he serves. Wow, what a beautiful example. How many people do we serve? In Hebrews 3:1, we read these words, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, in whom we confess." Fix our thoughts on Jesus. How can I best love my partner to be more like Christ? How can I best be the best dad to be more like Jesus? You know, if I don't think about this every day, I'm going to get it wrong. Sometimes I lose my temper with the kids. Yeah, that's not a godly thing. I have to bring myself back to a place where I want to be reminded, I want to imitate the Lord and his example. One frustrated person once said this, "Two things in life I have had are ample, good advice and bad example." Good advice and bad example. We have to show people what we mean. Interestingly enough, we're looking at the C cadets for Reuben at the moment. Reuben's playing in a football team, and maybe it's not the most conducive environment, you know, for his abilities, and he wants to make friends, and it's just not maybe quite the right mix, but he's had a good experience. But we're looking at the C cadets because we think there's a lot of good discipline and there's a lot of good things that he could learn, you know, in the C cadets in Blackpool. You know, in other words, he'd be getting some good mentoring. I can mentor him in the home, but Reuben needs extracurricular activities, things that are not necessarily with his dad, things that are a bit more cool, like rock climbing and canoeing and swimming with sharks and whatever they do. You know, you swim with sharks, don't you, Steve? Or you have them? Yeah. You got on with them, all right? Solana went to Australia and you swam in the coral reef, didn't you? And she came back and she said, "Yeah, I swam with sharks." And I went, "You did what?" She said, yeah, there were sharks there." I'm not sure if you'd do it again, would you, with sharks? Not sure. All right, we'll have a chat about that. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 12:3. He said, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. What a lovely example to follow Jesus. Again, there's another quote from my friend Enzo. He said, "Blessed are those who expect nothing, for they shall not be disappointed." If you expect nothing, you're going to reap nothing. When we aspire to be like someone, to aspire to be like the Lord, we've got something to give people. We've got something to share, something to love, something to care. Got a few questions for you. Would you live for something that you do not love? Would you live for a cause that you didn't love? Would you live for someone that you didn't love? Paul said these words, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And that's why he could say, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Because Paul was an apostle to all the churches. And that's why he said, "I've become like a father to you in the gospel." In other words, he was setting himself quite a target, wasn't he, Paul? But by writing this and by teaching it, in a way, it helped him to focus on the fact that he had to live for Christ every day. This morning, I woke up quite early and I was going through my food thing and my fitness thing on my phone. And I thought, oh, I'll download this app called MyFitnessPal. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's apparently you can put all your food... What are you laughing at me for? You can put all your food in and find out how many calories you've eaten and how nutritious it's been and how much walking you've done. And it will work it all out at the end of the day and it will say, by the end of the week, you should lose X amount. Now, I've put this off for ages because I think, oh, I can't be bothered. I've got to find out, what bread did I have? Ovis, right. How many spreads of marmalade? Right, that. What make ham was it? And you type it all in and it all pops up. And I put it off thinking, I don't need that. But all I keep hearing is people who've used the MyFitness app are really losing weight. And I realized what it is, it's dedication. It's the dedication, the example that they're setting for themselves that helps them to be even more focused. So it dawned on me this morning, not many things dawned on me at 7 in the morning, but it dawned at me at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's not a bad thing to be more dedicated, is it? It's not a bad thing at all. In the same way, our Christian lives will not survive if they're only waiting for the next Sunday, whatever you call it, feast. Can you imagine not eating for, not eating Monday to Saturday and then waiting till Sunday and having your first meal of the week? As Christians, we have to feed ourselves continually on the Word of God. Like Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And as I bring this to a close this morning, I'm not going to say finally this week, this is the first close. It's like the curtains at the cinema, they sort of go like that and then they sort of move in. Neil looks a bit, yeah, right. We need to be amazed by Christ, by the fact that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, chose to confine himself in the form and fashion of a human that he had made. What an incredible thing. Wow. That one day our eyes shall see him, Christ, in human form, the Word of God in flesh. The word amaze means to affect with great wonder and to astonish. We need to bring ourselves into a place where we're amazed. You know, when you're a child, what did your summers feel like? Weren't they wonderful? You didn't need anything, did you? But the sun was shining, that was it. You didn't even know where you were going. You just went out somewhere. I mean, Reuben and Freddie can't really do that anymore. It's not safe enough. But I was out on my bike. Parents didn't know where I was. They just said, make sure you're in before you go to bed. You know. I had that sense of wonder as a child. And as we get older, we can lose that. We need to revisit that sense of falling in love with the Lord. There was once a pianist who never signed autographs. This is a true story. And a teenager once confronted him after a concert and held out a pad and a pencil and said, "Sir, I know your fingers are tired, but mine are too, from clapping." And the pianist signed. In other words, your example inspired me so much that I was... What a fantastic response from the teenager. I know your fingers are tired, but you know what? You just filled me with so much appreciation. One wise writer said this, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." Solana is a teacher. She comes home from school, and we're not going to go into details, but one of the topics of conversation several times a week is mentoring. Gaynor will come across it as well, working in school, where it's so obvious that parents are not mentoring their children as they ought at all. There were findings a little while ago that said that parents spend such little time in conversation with the children. I think it was down to something like 15 minutes a day maximum was the length of time that they had a conversation with a child. And we wonder why children are growing up without any true values. They're being blown about by the wind from one pillar to the next, aren't they? They don't know what to believe. They don't know who to follow. And there's a saying, you know, if you don't believe something, you'll fall for anything. And that's what we see. That's what worldliness is. It's falling for something other than the one who deserves our worship. The world takes its part. Paul told the young Pastor Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and impurity. It's not just for preachers. We've all got a little audience in the workplace or among neighbours or friends, family. Let's set ourselves a goal. Let's be motivated. You may not be on a healthy eating plan, but you should be on a healthy spiritual one. Think about what is going to inspire you. And this is the finally, in closing, paragraph. This is really interesting. Have you ever seen a blind athlete run the 100 metres? It's fascinating stuff. To stop them from crashing into their opponents either side of them, the runner has someone shouting instructions to them so that they stay on a straight path. Then there is a longer race which uses the full length of the track. Because of the difficulty of negotiating those bends at speed, the other runner ties a band to the athlete's hand and runs the race with him. What an example. I have seen that before, where you think, how can a blind person run around a corner? But when you've got someone running next to you, it's absolutely incredible to see. If a blind person can do it, how much more us with open eyes who know who the Lord is? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We need to know the voice of Christ in our lives. And his example will have a massive impact on us. And people will notice a change. But you know what? We're not just doing it for our family and friends. Ultimately, we do it because it gives the Lord great pleasure and honour. I've got this theory that when we go up yonder, I don't know how, but somehow the state that we died in, even if we receive mercy, will reflect in different, more beautiful ways the way that we live for Christ. And though we will all be beautified in the Lord's presence to some extent, I just tend to think, and again, it's not, you know, don't kill me for saying this, but I just think, you know, the Bible says that we're rewarded, yeah? And I think that there are some saints that somehow you will see by the way, you'll know the way they live for the Lord because there'll be something about them that, you know, even in a way they'll be honoured as well. You know, even Paul said, be careful how you teach and what you do because, you know, you'll judge angels. So there is a sense in which there are degrees of honour in the kingdom to come. And I think that's a good thing because it's right that people are honoured in the way that they love the Lord as well. Okay, well, I hope you've been encouraged to some extent and that there's plenty of time for you to enjoy some rare, incredible British summer.